Hi, it's Diane, and it is Thursday, February 26th. I'm here with the 8 o'clock group. We have a few folks here with us tonight. Hopefully a few more will join us as we get going. Let's start with a quick check-in. Who wants to go first?
This is Paulette. I've been working on just trying to make myself happier with the last message that we had about putting your oxygen mask on first, and that it's just okay to take care of myself and okay to be more honest with myself and with other people, I guess, too. So it's a growing thing for me.
So you say, was it really hard for you? Sounds like.
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, I think I got to, you know, put on your best foot forward. And, you know, a lot of people say, I don't state my needs, or my sister says that very well. And I think it's something I need to work on. So
what do you think gets in your way?
Just what I think people think I should say.
That's an easy place to end up. It's more fun to say what we think people want us to say, right?
Yeah.
Well, so how did you do?
Okay. I think I could do better. I think I could just keep going with it, you know, and being more honest with myself and, you know.
So, Paulette, what's that voice in your head say when you say, I want to put myself first and ask for what I need? What does the voice in your head say?
I don't know, I guess. That you you should be a good role model to others.
Okay.
So you don't state the negative or you should be positive or something. And maybe
The thing that popped into my head, and it may not resonate at all, was it's nice to be nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so is it about being a good girl? What's it about?
Yeah, probably being a good girl, I suppose.
Yeah. So what thought could you, what's a more supportive thought that you could attach to this that would make it more comfortable to ask for what you need and put yourself first?
So that I might be, well, like what we were saying last time, that I would be happier with myself if I was more honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. That makes sense. Lisa, did you follow up and come back?
Yeah.
Okay. We're just doing check-in, so Paulette just checked in. Lana or Lisa, you want to go next?
This is Lana. Hi. I'm really kind of looking forward to our talk about motivation and trying to understand better this area for my son, who just seems to be having a hard time overriding his distractibility and getting on his homework. And we've just had a fairly good-sized experience the last 48 hours. And I just need to get more clarity around it.
Okay. In a minute, we'll get clear and take in the perspective. It's getting started on homework or falling through or what it is. But so think about that for a minute, and I'll whip back to it in a second, Lana. Lisa, what about you? How have things been going?
I don't know, good, bad, all the same. You know, we got an IEP, so I'm really happy about that. So, you know, everybody is acknowledging that, you know, my son needs some assistance, and it's been good because I just pull him out of the classroom just to, you know, help him. So that's been good. But, you know, I mean, my goals of, like, wanting him to be able to do homework independently, I just think is completely unrealistic. And, you know, I just sometimes get kind of bummed out because I just feel like, you know, he's 10 years old and I have to supervise everything, you know, from the homework to the eating to, you know, I mean, to be like, come on, eat your chicken, let's go, you know, to everything, or, you know, it just doesn't happen. And so sometimes I just get a little bit bummed out about it, but I don't know, I guess I'm kind of used to living like this. So, you know, things are good overall, but sometimes I just feel a little overwhelmed.
It's a lot. And you know, it's easy to kind of think about what, you know, you create a story in your head about what it should be like, and it's not like that, and then you get frustrated because it's not.
Mm-hmm. Normal.
But it's not, isn't a new situation, is it?
No.
And it's better than it was last year,
Yeah, it's better, yeah. But it's just like, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, it's just, it, yeah. No, it's not. Nothing is new. It's all the same. It is better. You know, we're not on medication, but, you know, he's still, you know, like, I take him to, you know, I just find, like, ways to kind of deal with things. Like, take him to the library to do his homework because there's less distractions at the public library than there is at home. But, you know, he's still, you know, like, lays down on the floor in the middle of the library and makes funny noises and hides in the aisles and acts like he is nowhere near 10. And I know that's normal for him, but, you know, it's just like, you know, when is this, you know, when is this going to end? Never, you know, maybe he won't do that when he's 17. I don't know. So it just gets overwhelming sometimes, you know, and thank goodness, you know, I have a babysitter. She's like a saint, you know. I don't even know how she can, you know, how she can tolerate, you know, it. You know, I feel like I'm the only one that I'm, you know, just used to it. And so, you know, I guess I kind of feel like I, you know, should count my blessings and everything. But, you know, sometimes I just go back to, like, this is hard. This is really hard. You know?
Yeah. Well, and it gets exhausting. And so I guess the question is, you know, does it help you to feel better if you can acknowledge that it is hard? Or does it something that you kind of get stuck into the story of?
No, I think, you know, I think it feels good from time to time to remind myself that it feels hard and that, you know, that, that it's hard. That, you know, he's not, you know, that he does have a, you know, an issue, and, you know, it's harder than, you know, raising a child who's going to be able to set their own alarm clock and wake up by themselves and get themselves ready for school, and they're only 9 years old, and it's not going to happen, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the piece of it is that, you know, I guess I'm going to plant the seed because if you're willing to consider that part of what makes it hard is the way you see it. And, you know, if you feel like it's supposed to be different than it is, it's going to, you know, if you had a 3-year-old and you were doing this, you know, you wouldn't flinch because this is what it is. This is where he's at developmentally, and this is what we do to support a 3-year-old. But it's because you feel like it's supposed to be something else that it feels harder. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's not hard, because it is. I'm not minimizing that, but I just am giving you food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where do you want to take aim this week? Homework?
No. I've tried to take aim on
that. I didn't know.
I don't know. I know. You know, but I just feel like I just running from here to there. You know, I'm just so happy that we got this IEP done. But, you know, between, like, me working and him going to the tutor and him going to the chiropractor and, you know, getting all the homework done and getting to bed on time, and it's just, like, it's hard, you know, and I keep on thinking, like, oh, I want to focus on homework, but I just really don't have time to focus on it at all. So, I don't know. I'm not sure.
So, you need another minute to think about it? I'll come back?
Yeah, I'll come back.
Okay, Paulette, where do you want to take aim?
Well, I would like to help my daughter, get caught up. She had a big paper she turned in, and then as a result, she got lost in her, you know, behind in her other classes. And, you know, I just checked in online. Simon's post, to get to motivate her to get caught up with these seven missing assignments. She's discovered that, which is a good discovery, that when she does things with her friends, she's less depressed. So, Mom, I don't want to be, you know, focused. And, you know, and I'm kind of conscious. I mean, the end of the semester is next week, you know, and you got to have this stuff in. And so I'm kind of like, well, are you working on it after school? Well, no, I watched a movie. Or, you know, so she's not as motivated, but she still wants to do things with her friends because it keeps her less depressed. So you know, there's just a fine line there that we got to find. And she'll say, yeah, Mom, you're right. You know, I should be working more on my homework. And she is, but, you know, you still got to kind of make sure checking in, you know. Are you doing it and taking responsibility for it? So,
you're taking aim on helping her to get caught up with the missing assignments. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Lana, what about you?
Can you hear me? Sorry.
I can.
Okay, I thought the mute was on. For me, well, I'd like to take aim on really kind of figuring out motivation within Gabe. And I don't know how I can do that because he doesn't really like to talk about this stuff. So I'm a little perplexed.
Excuse me. So, Lana, sorry, I got a sneeze. So we're going to focus on the challenge, motivation being one solution. Can you pick one particular area that's a challenge for Gabe that you want to try to focus in on?
Well, it's really, I guess the reason I'm turning to motivation is because there's this constant distractibility that I cannot control without being like, you know, because he's not a little kid anymore. I can't go to him and just take his computer out of his hands or, you know, or shut down the internet. But maybe that's what I need to get to. That's pretty drastic, and I don't usually work that way. And, you know, he's just spent a lot of time on computer saying he's doing his work, check in with him in a kind of coach-like way, and I keep getting these answers, and then, you know, he's up till 1:30 in the morning still doing, quote, his homework, end quote. And, yeah, I'm just a little triggered tonight.
No, I can tell, and it's frustrating. I can tell you that my 15-year-old's in the other room, quote, unquote, doing his homework, but I'm not in there, so I don't know what's really going on, and I suspect that it's not
That's
a lot of homework.
Problem. I can't set him up at a table and tell him, you know, I need to see everything you're working on. I mean, it's just everything. It's changed because he's 15, and, you know, and
so
there's a lot
really
of, you know.
Really clear here,
no.
What the challenge is not motivation. The challenge is getting his homework done, or when he's using the computer, is it using the computer effectively? What is it really?
It's getting his homework done, which probably 90% of it is done on the computer with the school, or more than that probably. So I think that's the main issue. If his homework was done, I wouldn't be in this state.
Okay, and so is it getting, so he knows what needs to be done, it's the matter of finishing it?
So he probably knows everything that needs to be done or almost everything that needs to be done. And I don't mind if he misses a something here or there. I think it really is more about just he knows what it is and he's just not getting at it because he keeps allowing himself to just go do whatever.
Yeah, and it's hard. And the computer is particularly distracting because it's there and it's and there's always something in front of you and you need to use it for the homework. And so the question is, you know, what it what him is going to help him to stay more focused on the homework and avoid some of the distractions of the computer. So I think that so sounds like a pretty clear place to take aim. Do you agree?
Yeah, I just don't feel like I get much collaboration with him, from him.
Well, so that's really what we'll talk, that's what we'll think through is kind of like what's the, as we go through the topic today, we'll see what comes up, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Lisa, I'm back to you, babe. What do you want to take aim on?
Let's see. I'm going to take aim on, I think I'm going to take aim on self-care because I have been neglecting that lately. And then I'm going to, and hopefully that will give me more patience to deal with my son.
Is there a particular area of the day, Lisa, that you have a hard time being patient?
Yeah, usually after 5 o'clock, if his homework is not finished and he wants to do screens, and we have a fight about that. So if I would go to the gym after work sometimes instead of coming directly home, but or do something else, it's just hard with work and everything. But I was doing it before, and I can get back into that again and work it out so that I can do that because I am usually more patient then when I come back. But then he's usually more tired. So, you know, but I like what you said also about just, you know, just going back to that, you know, this is where he's at, and, you know, sometimes he's going to, you know, I just need to be more patient and just get back to it, realizing that that's where he's at, and he's not, you know, and he has ADHD. He's not, you know, he's not going to do it on his own, and he's going to do cartwheels and other things while he's doing his homework because that's what he does, you know. And so, yeah, I just need to be more patient.
Yep. Okay.
Evening.
Cool. Yeah. So evenings. And so I guess the question I'm going to ask, Lisa, is that does it help? Because when we take aim, I like to have a take aim on a challenge rather than a solution. And self-care, it sounds like in this instance, is a solution. Is the challenge trying to keep your cool in the evenings when homework's not getting done the way you need to? It still may lead you back to a solution of self-care, but let's focus in on the challenge area instead.
Yeah. I just have so many things. I'm also trying to work on him not yelling anymore. I'm really trying to get him. I don't like him yet. He yells at me and he yells at his grandfather.
Do you want to tackle respectful communication? Do you want to tackle homework?
Let's tackle respectful communication.
Okay. Great. All right, so let me double check and make sure nobody else joined us. Okay. Great, so I'm in our workbook. We're on week 12 and page 43, and we're talking about motivation. And motivation is a key part of activating the brain. It was interesting because we're talking this week in the Sanity School, which is our new 6-week program, about activating the brain and talk a little bit about motivation. And this, I still remember when I first really kind of learned about the role that motivation plays in the ADHD brain. It was just such an aha for me as a non-ADHD adult who never really could quite understand what was going on in my kid's head and what was the problem because, you know, as we say on this page here, it's like, why can't they just, you know, do their homework, or why can't they just, you know, sit still, or why can't they just, you know, turn things in, or hang up their towels, or brush their teeth, or whatever the things are that, you know, our kids have a hard time doing. And the reality is that a lot of times they really just can't, and they can't for a couple of reasons. And the first one we talked about, and we'll talk more about this in terms of the developmental delays. And so sometimes when our kids can't do something, it's because they literally are not at the level developmentally to be able to do that. And so as I think about, you know, some of the situations you guys brought up, Lana, it may be that he's at a point where he literally can't figure out how to not be distracted by the computer without some sort of structure or assistance, you know, with, you know, helping him through the process. you know, for younger kids, they may not, you know, developmentally be ready to do certain things. And so that's the first place to look at, is to see whether the expectation is appropriate for their age. But if once we notice that our kids are able to do things sometimes successfully, and other times they have a hard time doing it, the place to look is motivation. The way that motivation works is, so if you think about the ADHD brain, there's a general disconnect. I'm going to try to be a brain scientist here for a second, not really, but there's a general disconnect between the part of the brain that knows what they're supposed to do, or wants to do something, or hears what we tell them to do, and the part of them that actually does it. And there's literally a lack of connection between those two parts of the brain. And so what activating the brain does is to increase the connection between those two parts of the brain so that our kids are more likely to follow through and do the things that they want to do, or the things that they should do, or that we ask them to do, those other sorts of things. And motivation is a really good way of connecting it, because what happens is that if the ADHD brain isn't genuinely interested in something, it's really, really, really difficult for them to do something. And, you know, I don't think I really have a full grasp on this, because I'm not an ADD-er, but I know my my kid's dad was over yesterday, and he was having a particularly ADD day, and he's like, I just feel like somebody's hanging on to me and pulling me back. I just can't, you know, it's like crawling through Jell-O. It's just so hard to move forward. You just, if you're not motivated, it's just impossible to do anything. And, you know, we talk about something we call the just get it done button. And those of us who are not ADDers, it's like, well, if something's kind of boring, or we're not interested in doing it, or it's not very fun, we just kind of press the just get it done button and we get it done. And it doesn't work that way in the ADD brain. So back in section 6 on page 25, we talked about the 5 areas of motivation. And so I'm going to take us back there for a second and look at it. But there's 5 things that are motivating to the ADHD brain. And not everybody's going to be motivated by all of them. But it's novelty, meaning, wow, this is really new. That's exciting. I'm going to be intrigued by it. Competition is a great one. So I used to have my kids, it's like, okay, so see how many math problems you can do in 10 minutes. Okay, let's see if you can beat your time and see if you can get, you know, the same number of problems done in 9 minutes. Competition, it's like, okay, run upstairs and I'll time you and see how long it takes you to go upstairs and get your shoes and your socks and come back down again. You know, so you're using that competitive nature that our kids have, some of our kids have, to be a motivation. Urgency is a motivator, and I think that a lot of adults tend to use this more than some of the other motivators for themselves. It's like, okay, the deadline's tomorrow, I guess I better get on it. Sometimes our students do the same thing. But if something's, you know, very urgent, it has to get done, it tends to get be attached to more motivation in the ADHD brain. Interest. So if something's really interesting to our kids, I don't know if you ever noticed, one of my kids is a really loves to read, but if you give him a book that he's really not interested in, his brain can't connect to it. But if he's interested in it, man, he could read all day. You know, and I think that, and then the last one we talk about is humor and fun, and the idea of stimulating the brain with humor and fun and laughter is another thing that can be very, very motivating. So it's important here to just remember that if your kid's getting stuck, then it's important to look for a motivator. And a motivator doesn't always have to be a reward, although sometimes rewards are very, very good motivators. Consequences can be motivators, but it's important to know what does and doesn't motivate your kid's brain, because a lot of times with consequences, kids kind of get burned out and they're like, yeah, okay, whatever, take one more thing away from me, I don't care, because they don't feel like they can be successful. So I find with my clients that our kids do respond much more to positive motivators rather than diminishing motivators. So that's just something to kind of think about with your child. But it's what we're talking about here is not rewards. It's really about connecting the brain in a way that it's inspired to take action. So with that, I would love to hear from a few of you what you think about this issue of motivation.
Well, this is Paulette. I guess I've found that humor works quite well with my daughter. It just takes a lot of the pressure away. If we can just eventually smile about something, or, you know, I'll just be like kind of stupid crazy, you know, or something, or the faces I make or something will just crack her up, or something, or something, some way you say it, or, you know, it's funny. So, you know, how's your homework? Or I'll recite a line from a movie or something. And how's it going, Bob? You know, it's from, you know, wherever that was, that Finding Nemo, and she'll laugh or something. So that's helpful. And you want to get your homework done, we'll watch a movie, you know, that kind of thing. So we're movie oriented.
Yeah. Yep. Great. Thanks, Paulette. Mm-hmm. Lana or Lisa, what else would you add?
Diane, this is Lana. Is it possible that you could just say that last thing you mentioned? It's not about a reward, but it's connecting the brain with.
Yeah. So, what's going on from a biology perspective is that the part of the brain that knows what it wants to do, or knows what it's supposed to do, or hears what we ask it to do, doesn't have a strong connection to the part of the brain that actually takes the action. And so what we're trying to do is to activate the brain and improve the connection between those two spots in the brain so that they're more able to move things forward. And so that's what a motivator does. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you think about Gabe, is that, so what kinds of things, you said earlier you have a hard time thinking and about things that motivate him. When do you see him really inspired and taking action?
Well, you know, part of it is getting, you know, when you think about activating the brain in terms of his medication that creates a focus, a greater focus, happens
right
during certain parts of the day. During certain parts of the day, he's more focused. And so that's when we rely, like, I'll see it, especially on the weekend, because I'm with him throughout different hours. And I'll see him be able to get through work better or at a more fast pace than like at night, which is, you know, there are four school nights, I guess, where he's having to do homework. And those are the nighttime is difficult, but like yesterday he was home during the day, a little not feeling well, but, you know, he was definitely very talkative and on his computer. And I would check in from time to time and say, okay, you know, I know you still had homework from the night before, because he had fallen asleep early, not feeling well. And then he was going to get more homework late on, because 3 o'clock would come and he'd have new assignments for the second night. And, you know, I just kept working with him through the day. And there was just, yeah, Mom, I'm getting to it. Yeah, Mom, I'm getting to it. Yep, I'm going to do it. I got it. Yep, And that's the kind of thing he does. And there's just nothing, I have nothing further I can do. You know, I mean, I try to come at it different. I always stay really calm, you know, always like a friend, and, you know, not like pounding him or anything where he would resist me. But he's just wanting to watch a show or something, you know, or learn about, you know, 3D modeling. So he has these things that he likes to do on the computer, and they just seem more important to him. And, you know, last night I got home at 10 o'clock and I said, you're still doing your homework? ? And he says, yeah, you know, I didn't know about such and such or whatever, but he's still watching his show. And I'm like, Gabe, I don't understand. When, I just wish for you that you would learn the lesson that it's better if you can get your work done and then enjoy the entertainment. Like, you just can't make that shift yet.
So stop right there. So Lana, stop right there for a second. He can't make that shift yet. I mean, that sounds very true to me. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, and so the question is it so, are you beating your head against the wall trying to get him to do something that he's not able to do yet? So it may not be realistic that you can have him have access to whatever shows on his computer and expect that he's going to be able to do his homework instead of paying attention to the really cool thing that's on his computer.
Meaning trying to find a way to control what's on his computer? I mean, the internet?
Well, I think that that's the question is, you know, what if you cannot prevent him from going to the distraction, do you...
Gabe is an urban child, and he knows everything about the computer. He knows so much more than me. And everything.
Well, and I think that that's the hard piece of it. And so what would happen if you put the problem to Gabe and said, I want you to have access to your computer, and I need you to do your homework first? What could you do to fix the problem? Because you're not doing it right now.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing that we came up with, you know, was to just restrict on the weekend he gets PS4. So we took it away last Friday, and it was horrible. he just got really acting out and angry and arguing with us. And
okay. It's hard.
You know,
the
other thing is that he's weaning off of Zoloft slowly, but it is creating an emotional imbalance that wasn't there when we started 3 weeks ago. And or if it was there, it was much smaller.
Yeah.
So
there's some anxiety for you because you're really worried about how far you can push him and how to keep him as stable as possible. That makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and how much of it is just surly teenager versus, you know, wow, he really needs, you know, some compassion right now because it seems really important for him to go off this medicine. So.
Yeah. So how motivated is he really to get his homework done?
I would say like, you know, 75-80%. You know, he's not there 100%.
Okay.
That's for sure.
And more than 50% motivated to get it done. How motivated is he to get it done before 10 o'clock at night?
Not enough for my liking.
Probably. So that's what I'm hearing. It says that you want him to have his homework done first.
Mm-hmm.
So what motivation? So if could you set an expectation that homework is done by a certain time? And if it is, then there's some kind of bonus.
We used to do that. We used to say, okay, can you do your homework? Like, we'll have it if you can get it done by 9:30, then you can have an hour of just fun time on a computer. And that seemed to work for a while, but you know what? He was actually still slipping off into game land. I mean, I know he, you know, it's like the mother knows. It's not like I have proof, but I know he was because then 9:30 would come and the homework wasn't done. And, you know, and once in a while he would admit it to me. So.
Yeah. So I guess I'm wondering, is this a boundary issue? And do you need to really just practically come up with a solution to fix this, because it doesn't sound like it's realistic for him to stay off of it?
That's a good question, but I'm not sure I quite understand it.
Well,
I
so can I share what we ended up doing?
Mm-hmm. Please.
We have two different logins. One login's for homework, one login's for games. And they have to show me, you know, he's supposed to show me that he's finished with his homework before he logs into the game side.
Huh. And the logins are in the internet.
Yep.
Huh.
So you have a net nanny on one side, so that they can only use things that are approved. You know, so you might say that Spotify is approved, but you have to use a playlist. And it may need to, it may be the other thing that you may need to do is you may need to check every 10 minutes for a while and get him into the habit and, you know, or run some diagnostics and show the data. I mean, I think that that's the piece of it is that if you can find a way to set clear boundaries, and say, you know, because I guess this is the thing, Lana, if his homework was done at 10 o'clock and he used the internet, would you care?
No. I mean, and then, right, and then bedtime's at, you know, going upstairs with 10:30, 10:45.
Right.
That would be fine.
Right. And so I think that that's the piece of it is that, you know, you've got to start with, hey, this is the intention. If you're done by 10 o'clock, then things will be fine, and then they start to slip, is what I heard you say.
Right.
So that's the point at which the scaffolding has to get put a little bit closer, right? Because it didn't work to have him take care of it himself. So whether that's checking in with me, if that's setting a time schedule, because there's lots of different ways you could do it. I mean, it could be that he says, I'm going to do math from 8 to 8:30, and then I'm going to play a game from 8:30 to 9, and then I'm going to do language arts from 9 to 9:30, and then I'm going to play a game from 9:30 to 10, or whatever it is. But, you know, you could have him set a schedule. You could have him, you know, locked out of certain games. You could, I mean, there's lots of different ways you could have it, but he's old enough that, you know, the question is how do you partner with him to not just monitor it, but have him help fix the problem?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the way I usually handle it is I come up with some really crazy solution that he's never going to want to have. Like, I'm taking the computer away and you're going to have to go to the library and do your homework. That was one solution I suggested. And he didn't like that at all. So it's kind of like, okay, well, that's great. Then you need to come up with a solution that works.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm writing this down. Thank you.
Any other thoughts on motivation? Curious, or other thoughts for Lana, guys? I don't know. Paulette, you might have some ideas. You've got older kids.
Well, I just, the time thing has always bugged me, too. I mean, she would do homework until, you know, midnight one. I mean, it was just normal, you know, and I get crazy about it. And now this year, I've just been starting to going to bed earlier, and then she did. So I don't know what's changed, but the whole late thing is really did bother me quite a bit too. But I guess I don't think she was doing I'm sure she was doing internet stuff. So, but I would hide her books. She likes to read. And I would hide her, you know, books that she really loves to read because that's a really big distraction.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that that's the thing. It's like when you're setting motivators, it's really clear. So two things. One is you've got an older child. You want to help them, you know, help engage them in the conversation. So you want them to understand the role that motivators plays in helping their brain to work. So you might even explain to them what I just explained to you guys tonight about how motivation helps. And then, you know, you want to partner with them to have them make it, you know, set a clear expectation and have them figure out what motivation do they need to have in place. Yeah, maybe I was trying to remember, Lana, one of the other simple things that we used to do is that, you know, if he was done with his homework by a certain time, then he could get ice cream because he loved to have ice cream before bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the kitchen closes at a certain time. You know, so the kitchen's closed at 10, so if you're not done by 10, you don't get anything. Lisa, what about you? What comes up for you?
Well, for my son, I mean, he's much younger. He's just 10. But what I had to do was I changed the login password on the computer. So he can't get on the computer unless I log him in. So it's kind of a pain because, you know, then he asked me to log him in. But then at least he can't get on the computer. He can still do his phone and plenty of other things. But I've done that. But pretty much our rule is no screens until homework is done. So that's how we do it here.
Yeah, and the challenge when they get older is that they need their computer to do their homework every night, which is, that's when it starts to shift and they're having to do research online and they're having to do the assignments online and everything else becomes much more automated. It becomes tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. We've got a few minutes. Does anybody want some laser coaching around something other than motivation or around motivation? I'm happy to talk about that some more, too.
Well, I'll take some laser coaching on the respectful communication because it just seems like, you know, my son, you know, when he gets mad about things, whatever it is, you know, he yells at me or he yells at my boyfriend or he yells at my dad. Even though, you know, we tell him, you know, nicely, you know, we do not want you, you know, you can talk to us in a nice voice, you know, we don't want you to be yelling. You know, and he'll apologize and, you know, he'll explain why he was yelling, but, you know, I just need some help to try to figure, you know, I just kind of want to nip it in the bud before he gets older. Like, I just don't want him, you know, yelling at us or yelling at anybody.
Yeah,
really.
That's hard because you don't want, you don't want him to lose his cool. So if you get curious, Lisa, what do you think's going on?
I think he's overwhelmed or frustrated or mad. You know, and he that's just how he gets. You know, we've talked about other ways, you know, that he can try, you know, to express his anger, you know, or to cope with his anger, but it just comes down to the same thing all the time, where he just ends up yelling. It's not as bad as it used to be, but he still yells at us. So, I just think he's, you know, and it also doesn't help because, you know, it'll be like, I don't know, it'll be like some, you know, like I can kind of deal with it a little bit more than my dad, but we live in the same house. And so, you know, then if my son yells at me, then my dad gets mad and then he plays into it. And then my son starts yelling at my dad, you know, to, you know, don't give me that look or whatever. So it just, you know, whereas, you know, I kind of been like, you know, I tell him that I don't want him to yell at me, but then I try to, you know, diffuse the situation or give him a few minutes to, you know, cool down a little bit before we bring it up again. Like, I still just try to distract him with other things, you know, like if he's mad about, you know, the homework, for example, that he just doesn't want to do it or, you know, that I told him, you know, no, you're not doing screens until, you know, it's done or, you know, you're not going to talk on the phone to this friend until you're done with your homework and he yells at me, then, you know, I'll tell him I don't want him to talk to me that way and then walk away. But, He just gets mad when he doesn't get what he wants.
Yeah. So,
what
you're describing?
You know.
Yeah, it's frustrating. No, I can hear it in your voice.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So what you're talking about is trigger 101, trigger management 101, right?
Yeah.
Because he's getting triggered. Were you on the call when we talked about triggers a few weeks ago, Lisa?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe so.
So here's the thing. This is an automatic response. And so at some point in the process, it becomes so automated that you really, it's prevention versus management, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you know that something's going to trigger your child, how could you handle it so that you're less likely to trigger them? That's the first place that you can look. You know, so is it a code word to let you know, hey, I've got to tell you no, and I know you don't want to hear no? Is it, you know, paying attention to their stress level so you can see when they start to escalate so you can take a pause and help them to calm down before things get too heated? Is it, you know, that there's certain issues that are particularly trigger issues? But the reality is that once they're there, once they're triggered and they're yelling or they're whatever it is, it it's fight or flight. They're in that part of that primal part of their brain, and it that impulsive part of their brain, because they're ADD on top of being triggered, and it's so much of it that's unconscious. And I'm not saying that it's okay, but I want to say that out loud. There's so much of it that's unconscious. And so it's really about, you know, kind of managing it in a way so that it doesn't get so escalated that it that they're, the part of their brain that realizes that they're doing it turns off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I just think about it, you know, I mean, like, I know he doesn't ever yell at his teacher at school. So, like, he can manage it himself in school. Like, he knows better, you know. But at home, you know, or with the babysitter or whatever, you know. So I don't know, you know, where that's coming from, or if it's just that he holds it together all day, and then by the end of the day, on top of everything else, he's tired too. But, you know, why does he, you know, he never yells at his teacher. He never yells at his dance teacher. He's just, you know, he may not like what he has to do. He may not actually do it, but he doesn't ever yell at them about it. So, but he yells at me.
So what do you think that is about? I mean, you threw up
respect.
Both things out there.
I think it's about respect.
You think that he respects somebody, doesn't respect you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, and it makes perfect sense that if you would feel like it's a lack of respect and he's doing it on purpose, then he's willful and he's a bad kid.
I don't think that he's doing it on purpose all the time. I don't think he can help it. But I don't understand how he can help it in school or with his dance teacher, but he can't help it at home.
Okay. So, but the reality is he can, right?
He can what? Help it?
He can hold it together. He can hold it together with those other folks. He has a hard time. And so here's the thing. Our kids are much more comfortable with us. If they're stressed out, they can let their hair down a little bit. I mean, I think that it's actually a compliment. I mean, it may not seem like it because we get the bad end of the stick here, right? But he feels more comfortable in this situation. He feels like he can be off guard a little bit. And when we get off guard, we're more likely to be triggered.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, you know, how do you help him to communicate respectfully, and then how do you help him to do trigger management? So those are the two different things, but connected in here. And I mean, I would take him through, you know, what do we do when we get upset? We focus on calming down. And so if he does get overwhelmed or frustrated or mad, that the first place you focus in on is not, don't talk to me that way. It's like, wow, you're upset. Let's take a deep breath and calm down. Because trigger management is the important key, because then you can get him out of the disrespect because he's no longer triggered. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, I don't know about what you do, but when my kids talk disrespectfully to me, I get triggered too. And when I get triggered, then I'm focused on, you can't talk to me that way, that's not okay, and I start kind of almost attacking back, which triggers them more, which turns into a hot mess, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if he's being triggered, step number one is to stay calm. Step number two is to help him to calm down. Don't worry about anything else until he's calm.
Mm-hmm.
If he's calm enough and he's starting to be disrespectful, then you could say, hey, dude, try again.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, hey, that didn't come out quite nice. Can you say it differently?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just really calmly try to redirect it. If he's not triggered, if he's triggered, help him to calm down. If he's not triggered, give him a chance to correct it. Because he's impulsive. He's an ADD kid. And he may not have, you know, may not be completely willful. Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he really feels bad about it afterwards. So,
and I've gotten
much better at avoiding the hot mess. So, you know, I do still tell him, you know, that I don't want you to yell at me, you know, and I want you to apologize, and he does, And sometimes he apologizes in a way that you could tell he's still annoyed. But otherwise, I don't get into it with him anymore like I used to. So that's
good. I think that's great, Lisa. And I think this is the thing is that you've got, it's about coming up with a voice, because the voice in your head, you were very clear. It's like when he gets like that, you feel like he doesn't respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes perfect sense. It would trigger anybody. If they feel like their kid doesn't respect them, it's a natural trigger for you. And
mm-hmm.
there's part of you that knows he's having, it's not so much that he's disrespectful or that he doesn't respect you, it's that he's having a hard time communicating respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And even just that change in language, he doesn't respect me versus this is a kid who's having a hard time communicating respectfully. You're going to approach those two situations completely differently. Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what stands out in that most for you?
What stands out in what?
In this conversation, what stood out the most for you, Lisa?
Well, I guess, maybe just changing it instead of saying to him, I don't want you talking to me that way, to just, say exactly like what you said, like to say, wow, you're upset, and just acknowledging his feelings. The triggers, I don't know that how much I can really help that, because again, it's, a lot of times it's mostly in the evenings when, it's like, we're kind of on a timeline, where with bedtime and finishing homework, and he, and I feel bad because I know that he's worked really, I know he's worked really hard all day. I know he's already tried to spend 2 hours doing his homework and, still hasn't finished it. But I guess just changing it up in what I say to him, might be helpful. So, and reminding him again to try to calm down, and for me to stay calm, but I feel like I've been doing a lot better with that. So
I think that's great, because I have to tell you, Lisa, that's half the battle. If you can avoid being triggered yourself, that gives you so
mm-hmm.
much more access to the problem-solving part of your brain that can come up with different ideas of how to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a lot of times, we'll use humor, too, and then we'll get him to laugh about something, and then, we can have a rational conversation about what's going on. And a lot of times he doesn't even know, when I talk to him about it, he doesn't have any idea what's going on for him.
Right.
So,
That's true. Okay. So I want to do our wrap up real quick. So the four questions were on page 44. Started to ask Lisa this question, but so what, what did you focus on? What did you pay most attention to in the conversation today? What's your clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success with his actions? Take a minute, answer those four questions, or at least a couple of them, and I'd love to hear from all three of you before we close off.
I can go. This is Lana.
Okay.
So I was obviously focusing on this homework, and I think the clarity that came through in the evening was his getting his homework done by a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get to that somehow, getting work done by a certain time, and then he can have, electronic time. And I think that my realistic action step to take is to talk with him this weekend about this and how we could get to this place, and to see if I can get feedback from him and see where we go from there.
Awesome. So, what's going to get in the way, Lana?
I think... I mean, my expectation is that he's going to resist really collaborating on it because he likes the way it is now, and I don't.
Well, and so I think that's great that you can think about that. And so it's kind of like, what do you need to do? Is to say, we've got to come up with a solution, or I'm gonna make a change, or do you say I'm gonna create an incentive for you, and if we can come up with a solution, then you know X, Y, and Z will happen, and it'll be a bonus for you, or you know, it's just like trying to do a little bit of what's in it for him to get him involved.
Yeah, I see. I need to think about that.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Paulette or Lisa?
I just, what you said with Lisa was that they're having a hard time communicating respectfully. That is so mind-opening for me. I mean, not to think of it that different way. That just really hit me. I mean, to believe, you know, the best about them and... You know, I can think of it with my sister and her child too. I mean, and their family, they're having a hard time with communication, and it's just really heavy for me. Okay, to take that away and think about that. And the other thing is, you know, you're talking about avoiding the trigger myself. I mean, that's my work I have to do, but then. Helping Amanda through her triggers. I mean, we were both triggered this week, and she wanted me to leave the room. And when she was triggered, and it's hard for me to leave the room when I'm triggered. So if I can calm down, and then she has to calm down too. So I mean, it's like both of you have to calm down so before you can deal with it. And so I finally left, and. We calmed down and we talked about it after when we were calmer. So triggers and I guess looking at them, how they're communicating. I mean, they're just having a hard time communicating respectfully. Like that's what I'm taking away.
So how do you turn it into action, Paulette? I mean, what are you going to do about it?
Well, that's the hard part for me. I don't know. I just always think that I'm going to think about it. Just being conscious of it and referring back to it, I guess. I don't know. Do you have any ideas?
Well, I think that that's the piece of it is just kind of noticing what the difference is when you see it as her having a hard time as opposed to her being disrespectful in this instance. Or you know, I think that that's the piece of it is that if you stay in that problem-solving mode, you know, it feels lighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, any parting thoughts before we head off?
No, I just think what I got out of this is just, you know, again, just going back to just shifting my perspective, whether it's about, you know, him, you know, just remembering again that, you know, he is, you know, that he, you know, that sometimes, you know, developmentally that he's not going to be where he's at and he's going to lay on the floor and, you know, make noises or be distracted. And I want to practice that, saying that to him, wow, you're really upset. Wow, you're really upset. So, so that's, and then just maybe also talking to my family about, you know, about him, because a little bit, you know, about some of this conversation about shifting the perspective as well, because, you know, my dad does get into it with him, and it like you said, it just turns into a hot mess, and so I think that would be maybe helpful as well.
Awesome. Okay, great. Great call, everybody. We're meeting again in 2 weeks. It's it'll be the 11th, is that right? The 12th of March. So we'll talk to everybody then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you
so bye-bye. Much. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.